Beautiful morning, wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord, as every day that you're in the house of the Lord is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a part of a verse here. That's the name of this message this morning. He says in one of these verses, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Reckon that's true for you?
True.
And for me? What that means is, to me, is that what I accomplished by my son in his blood shedding and death is sufficient to bring you to glory without your help. Without you lifting a finger or batting an eyebrow or doing anything in any way to justify yourself, whatever you could do, praying every day, worshiping every week, whatever, anything that you could do in a way of works has no part of your justification before God. My grace is sufficient for you. We are justified by the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ through the grace of God, because it was God's grace that gave us a mediator in the first place, a surety. It was the grace of God that chose us in a covenant before the foundation of the world and gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ of His people and charged the Son of God to bring us home to our Father.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient for you. Now we ought to trust His grace. We ought to believe His word and trust His grace that it is sufficient. What Christ Jesus accomplished on that cross at Calvary is sufficient to cover all our sins, to make up, to cover all of our failures, all of our discomfitures in this world, all of our mistakes, our mess ups, everything where we fail. He's successful. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:16. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." How about that? If you're a believer, believing the gospel of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your merits make no contribution to your salvation, then you are a sweet savor to God in the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sweet smell to Him. Something He loves. I'm in verse 15. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved and to them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death," that is those that perish, "and to the other we are a savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ Jesus." Now there are many that do not bat an eye at corrupting the word of God in order to gain a following and to maintain a following. The Word of God means nothing to them. It's numbers they're after and things that go with the numbers. But as Paul said, we're not of that sort. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we're going to trust, now we're going to trust one or two. We're either going to trust the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're going to trust our merit or our works. It's going to be one way or the other. It cannot be both. It cannot be a mixture of one and the other. If it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, works is not works. But if it be of grace, then it's not of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. It's either one way or the other. And it's completely one way or the other. So it's either completely by your merit or it's completely by the grace of God, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the only route to glory is trusting the blood and righteousness, trusting the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Those who trust the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ will someday come to glory, come to heaven and immortal glory. Those who trust their merits, their works, their good deeds, their good thoughts, their pleasant attitude are going to wind up in hell. That's where they're going to wind up. And the reason is because they have despised God's Christ. They've said, I don't need Him. I don't need His work. My work's good as His. I can do everything I can to bring myself in righteous before God. Therefore, I don't need God's Christ. I didn't need Him to go to the cross for me. I didn't need Him to walk down on this earth and fulfill all righteousness for me. I don't need Him. Those who trust their works, their merit, have laid aside the New Testament and have returned to the Old Testament. They've laid aside Christ and they've gone back to Moses. They've fallen from grace. They were never in grace, but they've turned away from grace. And they've gone back to the keeping of the law. My grace is sufficient for thee. Well, you say, well, I'm such a horrible failure. Well, you are. And you say, I'm such a sinner. Yeah, you're that too. I'm such a rebel. Yeah, you're all that. My thoughts run contrary to what they should. That's right. They do. But my grace is sufficient for you. Don't think, oh, what a model citizen I am. What a model saint I am. Oh, how good I was this week. Because you wasn't good this week. You were terrible this week. You just wasn't as terrible as you was the week before, maybe. We're always bad. We're never good in ourselves. We're never worth living in ourselves. But we're always perfect in the sight of God. We're always, always, always perfect in the sight of God because we are in Christ Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee. And we need to trust, not our merit, not our good deeds, but God's grace in Christ Jesus. Trust that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood was sufficient to wipe out all our sin records, take it all away, that His sufferings was sufficient to put us to pay our debt to God's law and justice. Look at Romans 3:24. All have sinned, including me and you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. Now we all stand guilty before God in ourselves. We're all lawbreakers, every one of us. And not only do we only break just part of the law, we have broken and do break daily the whole law. Because if a man, look at James 2:10. I'll just read it. You don't have to turn over. James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Well, what might that point be? A spurious thought. A thought that goes astray. Because the law is spiritual. It demands inward, internal perfection as well as external perfection. So if you go astray in your thoughts for one split second, you're guilty of the whole law. So all have sinned, but we are freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're sinners. Yeah, we're filthy sinners. We're ugly sinners. We're sinners of the worst sort. But we're justified in the sight of God by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will not impute our sins to us. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And not only that, we have no sin record in heaven. Jeremiah 20:50 says, in that day the sins of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and there shall be none, there be none. He said, for I... Well, let me turn and read it. I think it's Jeremiah 50:20. We've all been there before, but it's always worth looking at again. Jeremiah 50:20. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. Well, now there was plenty of that going around back in that day. They made a golden calf. They rebelled in the wilderness when they didn't have meat to eat. They rebelled because they had no water. They murmured against God all the way through that desert land. So there's plenty of iniquity laid to Israel charge. But He said, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I reserve. So, our sin, we have no record of any sin in glory. Not only that, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've kept His law perfectly. The law can't look us, point His finger at us and say, you're disobedient. We obeyed the law perfectly in an obedience that was even unto death in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were all in Him. Nailed to that cross in Him, we're perfect law keepers. We love the law of God. And He's written that law in our heart. Now in ourselves, we're miserable failures under the law. We're sinners dyed in the wool from head to toe. We cannot keep the law. But in Christ Jesus, we being put to death, our old man being crucified. Look at Romans 6:3. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were baptized by the Spirit of God into union with Christ in His death. Therefore ye are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted it together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. The old carnal nature. That man that loves sin can't do anything else but sin. That was nailed to the cross. In our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He's still a sinner. He's still in our flesh. He's still making war with us every day. But He was nailed to the cross at Calvary. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is justified or freed from sin. The new man which lives unto God rejoices in truth. It's the new man that sits under the sound of the gospel and rejoices and believes and trusts God and trusts His grace and will not have His merit as his justifying righteousness. We have a justifying righteousness which was established by our Lord Jesus Christ and which is imputed to us by God the Father. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Well, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So we rejoice in Him. We are saved in the Lord. He is the Lord, our righteousness. We're not who we are in ourselves. We are, and you are, who you are in Jesus Christ in reality. That person you look in the mirror every morning is not the real you. You are who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ in the mind of God. And which is more real, your mind or His? Your mind is the old mind. The old mind, or the old man with his mind, is crucified at Calvary. About all you know of yourself is your faults, your failures, your sins, your guilt, your filthiness. That's about all I know about me. And there's enough of me, I don't need to share it with you. But what God knows, the person that God knows, is an absolutely perfect, loving, obedient child. That's who we really are. And the time is coming that it will be proved even to us. When we're brought home to glory. In Him who is our Savior. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, the old man loves to rejoice in the fishing pole. Or in a baseball. Or in a plow. Or in a hammer. Various things. Or in a car. But the new man rejoices in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in a doily. Some of you women might like to knit or crochet or whatever that is that you make a doily with. But but we rejoice in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To write the same gospel. We preach the same gospel every time. Every time we preach, if we really preach, we preach the gospel. Amen. We don't preach other things. We don't preach politics and we don't preach religion. We preach the gospel. That's what we're set to do, is to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I hope I never get another message. One's more than I can handle. And I can't handle it. It has to handle me. There ain't two gospels, there's just one. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it's safe. As long as you're anchored in the gospel of the grace of God in and by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's safe ground. But when you get out to trusting in what good things you can do, and what an upstanding citizen and saint you are, then you're in a heap of trouble. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilators of flesh. Beware of the concision, those who seek circumcision coupled with faith. In the case of the Philippians and Galatians, a keeping of the law with faith in Christ. A mixture. Beware of, avoid them. Call them the evil prophets that they are. They're liars. For we are the circumcision, or the true worshiper of God, the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, in the doctrine of the gospel. Not by the slaying of bulls and goats and all of those kinds of things, and bringing of wave offerings and under the ceremonial law. And we do not seek to fulfill the moral law by our own doings. We look to that in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the gospel, by the Spirit. We believe the gospel. We preach the gospel. We testify to the truth of the gospel. We live by the gospel. That we're not sufficient of ourselves. Not even to think any good thing as of ourselves. But our sufficiency in everything is Christ. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. This is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our wisdom, our life, our joy, our peace, our hope, our resurrection, our glorification. And in Him we're seated in glory at this present hour, because He's our representative and we're in Him. God has accepted us being joined to Christ by faith in a covenant which was established before the foundation of the world, and in that covenant ratified by His blood, we're seated with Him in glory. When He was received and seated, we were as good as in Him. In the mind of God, it's all done. It's finished. It's over. It's finished. I'm rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and look at this. Have no confidence in the flesh. We've seen our works, our flesh, what we can do, and we'll label it what it is. It's filthy. It's all filthy rags. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is utter perfection. Turn then to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, that is, as many as seek to be justified before God by their works of the law, by their law keeping, by their doing good to their neighbor and all that sort of thing, being good citizens, being whatever, religious to the fair you will. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Because nobody, no matter who they are, of a mortal man is able to keep the law. If you don't have a bad action, he'll have a bad thought. If you don't have a bad thought, a bad word will creep out of his mouth. The law can only condemn. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, and look back at verse, verse 12. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then in verse 12, let's look at it. For the law is not of faith. The law does not honor faith. The law doesn't care whether or not you believe Christ Jesus. What the law says, you've got to do. It's required of you to be perfect in yourself. The law says, do and live. It does not say, believe and live. The gospel says, believe. And you are alive forevermore. But the law says you got to do yourself. You're under the burden of the law. And you just can't do it. I can't do it. No human can do it except the man Christ Jesus. And He's fulfilled it to a jot and tittle. For as many as of the curse of the law are under... For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse. Now all these folks you see running around dressing in a certain way, trying to appear so sanctified and holy, won't do this, won't do that. They observe times and months. They have to keep the Sabbath. They're cursed. Because they deny the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they're going to wind up in hell. if God doesn't do something for them. And there's going to be a bunch of them there, because this world is religious. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things of the book of the law to do them, not to believe them, but to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, look down at verse... let me go on. Now, that is that we live in a assured hope of the glory that is to be ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith produces hope. Hope is a result of faith. We believe what the Lord Jesus Christ, but how do we do that? That's faith, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But do we do that in ourselves? No. You can't just say, well, I believe the gospel today. Something has to happen to you first. You have to receive the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit has to be given to you. And His fruit, or the result of His presence in you, working in you, and giving you all the gifts of grace, one of those many fruits is faith.
Amen.
And we live... Actually, we live by Christ, the Spirit of Christ, who liveth in us. And it is by the power of God the Holy Ghost that we believe. For the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now the law, like we said, it doesn't require faith, it doesn't honor faith, it doesn't care about faith. It requires deeds. You got to do, and not only that, you got to think straight all your life. You can't have a bad thought. And that rules every one of us out, don't it? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, Christ has bought us back from the curse of the law. We were His by the gift of God from eternity past, and then we went astray in Adam. We passed under the curse in our first father of natural men, Adam. Christ hath redeemed us, bought us back from the curse of the law, and brought us in perfectly righteous as the children of God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, and the way He did it was by being made a curse for us. He endured all of our curse. The cursedness that's pronounced on sinners was pronounced on the Lord Jesus Christ in our legal room instead, and He purchased us back from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Everything that God promised Abraham in the covenant is mine and yours, because we are heirs of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, now that kind of sounds like that. Well, hey, you have to have believed. You believe and then you receive the Spirit. But that's not right. What it means there, the Spirit of promise there, is that Spirit that was promised, the Spirit of Christ was promised all through the Old Testament, is promised all through the New Testament. He is the Spirit of promise, and it is Him who we have received as the gift of God and causes us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because what we have received is the Spirit of adoption. He is the promised Spirit of adoption. We have received the Spirit of the sons of God, and as sons and daughters of God, we believe God's report of His Son. You don't have faith in order to receive the Spirit. You receive the Spirit as the gift of God by the effectual gift of God, not as though you had a choice in the matter. God gives Him to you. And then, through that life of the Spirit of Christ in us, we absolutely believe this gospel. And we ain't going to settle for anything else. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We have to put up with one another's failures and foolishness, don't we? Because we're all full of it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. There's just one body of Christ, which is His church. There's just one. There's not two. Not three or four. Just one body of true believers. And that's the thing that marks them as the body of Christ, is their doctrine of Christ that God has given them by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold your finger there and turn to 1st to 2nd John 2, 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now if you believe, or if persons believe another doctrine rather than the doctrine of Christ as it is set forth in the New Testament, they don't have the Spirit of God. They just don't. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receiving not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Treat him like he's got leprosy, because he has. He's covered with leprosy. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So there's one body and one Spirit. It's the Spirit of promise. It is the promised Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of life. The Spirit of faith. A spirit. He is the Spirit that dwells within us and gives us our spiritual life.
Yes.
There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. That is final glorification in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord, just one Lord Jesus Christ, not two, And He's not trying to be Lord. He is Lord. That imposter that's going around wanting to do all these things that never get done, he's not Lord. He's a fake. A fraud. And those who follow him are damned if the Lord don't do something with them. Or for them. One Lord, one faith. One doctrine of Christ. One body of truth that we call the gospel. They're just one. One baptism of the Spirit into the body of Christ. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all who believe. Well, I forgot where we were before. I was going to go back to it, but I forgot where it was. Oh, me. So I guess we could leave it there. But look at Galatians chapter 5, and I'll close with this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Do not allow yourself to come under man's bondage, under man's religious ordinances, taste not, touch not, Colossians 2, which all are to perish, which all are to perish with the using of it. Let me turn and read that. Colossians chapter 2. Which have a shadow of good things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, obeying that way that seemeth right, and not holding the head, Christ Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered unto it and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not again entangled to the yoke of bondage, which is reference to the law of Moses, but to any man religious that would bind your conscience by his law. If somebody comes to you and says, well, what you believe is just wrong, well, say, well, chapter and verse, please prove that. We stand on the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. There is no higher authority than the Word of God. Natural reason will bring you to hell. We have the mind of Christ. We believe God. Don't care whether it makes any natural sense or not. We believe God. We believe the Word of God. We believe what He has said. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, or if you're going to live according to the law and trust your merits rather than the grace of God, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are that are justified by the law, or by your works and merit, or by what good things you can do, you're fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, righteousness is not the thing that we hope for, but righteousness is the thing which is the vehicle to bring us to the end for which Christ has apprehended us, which is final glorification in Christ Jesus. The hope of righteousness is our welcome home by our Father. We already have that righteousness. We have the righteousness of God. We are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And we hope for the reward of grace, which is final glorification. Amen.